Today, I'll be talking about Isaac. And before I go into Isaac, there's another interesting chapter in Genesis chapter 20 about Abraham's lie to Abimelech, king of Gerar, the Philistine king. It's a very interesting chapter because it sounds very familiar. It's the same lie that Abraham told, it's the same lie that Abraham told to Pharaoh of Egypt, where he told Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister. And now, in Genesis 20, he moved into the country of the Philistine, and he told the king, Abimelech, that Sarah was his sister. Again, it is with the purpose of preserving his own life, because the king of Gerar, the Philistine, would take Sarah because Abraham is the brother, and Sarah apparently has no husband. And the same event happened where God came in to rescue Sarah and restore Sarah back to Abraham by sending a disease on Abimelech. And Abimelech then realized that Sarah was actually the wife of Abraham. And Abimelech then released Sarah back to Abraham. So it's a very strange thing that Abraham lied twice the same line. Yeah. So the spiritual lesson here is, do we sin the same sin time and again? And I think so. At least I do. So it again shows that Abraham is very much human. We tell lies, and we tell lies again. Abraham told a lie, and he told the same lie again. So it shows the human aspect of Abraham, that he's not perfect, although he may have great faith in God, but again, sometimes his faith takes a beating, and he's fearful, full of anxiety for his own life, to preserve himself, and that he sort of concocted a lie to preserve his life. So that again shows that God is forgiving and patient. He does not always visit us with a terrible punishment if we sin. So God knows that we are weak, we are but made of dust and ashes, and he's long-suffering and not quick to anger. But of course, there is a limit to God's patience, and sometimes he will chastise us, punish us with love, as a father punishes or chastises his children. So let me move on then to the next slide. So now we come to Genesis 21 on the birth of Isaac. And let me read Genesis 21:1. And the Lord visited Sarah. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. So this was 1 year later, after the Lord and the two angels first visited Abraham and Sarah in the plains of Mamre. And then the Lord promised Abraham that 1 year later, Sarah would give birth to a son. And so this is 1 year later now. Then in verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. So Sarah gave birth according to what the Lord prophesied earlier on. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son, Isaac, was born unto him. So when Abraham was 100 years old, Sarah was 90 years old. Yeah, so let's move on. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. So Sarah was very delighted. And he said, And she said, God hath made me to laugh, because he was so delighted, so happy, she laughed, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So Sarah was really over the moon that at an old age, Abraham 100 and she 90, she would give birth to a son. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Okay, so this is a very sad event that happened. Sarah saw Ishmael, son of Hagar, mocking Lot in a very disrespectful manner. And that offended Sarah greatly. And wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. She was so offended by Ishmael's mocking that she told Abraham to get rid of Hagar and Ishmael. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. So this event was very grievous. Abraham was very sad, very much distressed, because Sarah had told him to get rid of the son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So God came in to sort of assure Abraham to do as what Sarah said, to send the boy and Hagar away, because Isaac is a seed that God has planted in Abraham. And further on, God also assured Abraham in verse 13, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. So God promised Abraham that Ishmael will be a nation, and God will see to it. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. This must have been a terribly sad and distressing time for Abraham. If you read verse 14, he rose up early in the morning, took bread. He has to provide some food for Hagar and Ishmael's journey, and a bottle of water, gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And where did they go? They wandered into the wilderness of Beersheba. So, yeah, it is nobody would have guessed that they would survive, because it is not into a city or a place of comfort which they are going to. They are in the wilderness, in the desert of Beersheba. There's nothing there. Arid land, no water, no food. So to send them away is like not a chance of survival. Yeah, you're going into the desert with just a bottle of water and some bread. And there's no chance of them surviving. There's no chance that Abraham will see them again. So Abraham was very distressed that he had to do this. He has only faith in God that helped him to overcome this distressful feeling, grievous emotion, that he has to send his son away and that God will take care of him, even though it is in the desert of Beersheba. So it is a sad time for Abraham. And then if we read on, yeah, what happened? And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. So as Hagar and Ishmael walked into the desert, water was finished. And then she put the child under one of the shrubs. in the desert, and she went and sat down over against him, a good way off, as it were, a bow short. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Very sad scene here, that she knows that she and the child will die in the desert, and she put the child under a shrub and she went away because she doesn't want to see her child to die. And she wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. What is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard Ishmael's voice where he is." Because Ishmael, of course, was also in probably suffering from heat stroke and hunger and thirst and calling out in his suffering. And God heard his voice. "Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went, filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad. He grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. So, yes, God is true to his word. He promised Abraham that Ishmael will be a nation. Ishmael will not die. And indeed, at the 11th hour in the deep part of the desert, God came to the rescue and rescued both Hagar and Ishmael. So at this point in time, I would like you to watch the video. The video will show how Sarah was speaking to Abraham to require Abraham to send Ishmael and Hagar away, and how Abraham was so sad, so distressed that he had to do this terrible deed of telling Hagar and Ishmael that they had to go. Yeah, but it is unlike today, where if you leave your house or you go to a foreign land, there's no sadness. It is happiness. You go to a foreign land, probably you're going for holiday or vacation or a new place of work, and everybody is happy because the flight is just a few hours away and anytime you can fly back. Or today's internet world has made it a global village. You still see the person on internet, on your Zoom, on your mobile, a WhatsApp, a video WhatsApp call. It is no real parting. Whereas in this case, Abraham was sending Ishmael and Hagar to the desert. To the mind of the ordinary person, it is a place of no return. If you go into the desert with a bottle of water and bread, in those days, 4,000 years ago, you're not going to see the person returning alive. And so Abraham has to rely on his faith, what God told him, that God will make Ishmael a great nation, and Ishmael will certainly do well and live on. But still, it would be distressing for him to prepare that loaf of bread and the bottle of water for mother and son to send them off into the desert. So watch the video carefully and see the sad parting scene, and understand the distress that Abraham went through.
Isaac is God's choice. That is God's promise.
Tell me, without us, do you think little Isaac could stand up to Ishmael and his mother? How will God ensure it'll be Isaac? Will he strike Hagar and Ishmael dead? You love both of your sons so much. You don't see it. I love them too. But we created this problem. And now God's put it in our hands to solve.
I created the problem. I did not have sufficient faith in the words of God. Oh, the problem is ours to solve. Send them away. Send them away!
For the protection of our son.
I believe the words you spoke were not yours alone, but God's will. Mother and son will be gone in the morning.
Don't worry about us, Father. I know how to survive.
Yes.
You'll learn well. Remember the words of the Lord. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him a great nation.
Yes, you saw the video and how sad and distressed Abraham was when Sarah asked Abraham to send Hagar and Ishmael away. And so, at the parting scene, the only words of consolation is the word of God, that God has promised Ishmael to be a great nation, and God will take care of Ishmael. And so it was a very sad event when Abraham had to send Ishmael away. Naturally, I would like to caution everybody who had just watched the video that the speech and various details of the events may have been inaccurate. They are all a movie maker's direction in making of a movie to make the story flow from one event to another. So, but I hope you have focus on the emotions of the father and son together with Hagar and realize that it was a sad event. And this is what God wants us to have, faith in him, despite terrible events or distressing events in our life. We must cling on to God, to his word that he will take care of us. Just as Abraham clung on to God by faith that he would take care of Ishmael and build him into a great nation. So let me recap. The parting between Abraham and Ishmael and Hagar must have been heartbreaking. Ishmael was the eldest son of Abraham. Naturally, I mean, if you think that any of fathers will have to send their son away and not to see the son again, it will be really heart-wrenching for the father and mother. And so it will be so for Abraham, because it is not just sending son away and Hagar away. They are going into the desert. Humanly speaking, the chance of survival is near zero. So Abraham hung on the promise of God that God will build Ishmael to a great nation and Ishmael will be well taken care of. That's why that's how Abraham sort of encouraged Hagar that this would be so. So where are the Ishmael's descendants today? Are they the great nation that God spoke of? Traditionally, the descendants of Ishmael are today's Arab states. Yeah. So if you look at the map here on the screen, you notice blue color is Israel. That's where the Jews are, or Abraham's descendants, the promised land of Canaan. And then the yellow and green are where the Arabs dwell. So you look at all the Arab states, they are rich and powerful today, and they are, as what God said, you know, great nations. But we would also realize that there are conflicts between the Arab states and Israel. So because of Abraham having Hagar, the birth of Ishmael, it gave rise to the Arab states, and Isaac, the Jewish line, giving rise to the Jewish state of Israel. These two territories are in conflict. So it's how you look at history, that sometimes your action, sin, transgressions against God may have far-reaching effect generations to come. Just like here, you know, we have the Arabs and the Jews. They are brothers. The Jews are from the line of Isaac. Arabs are from the line of Ishmael. Isaac, Ishmael are brothers from Abraham. And yet they are in conflict today. So this is just some food for thought that as looking at the story that before us in Abraham, it would teach us valuable lessons. How important it is to do the will of God and not take things into our own hands and do our own will. And it's because of this Abraham taking the will into his own hands and agreeing with Sarah to have Hagar that the line of Ishmael came about. And thereafter, generations down the road, we see conflict between the two brothers in the two territories, Arab and Jewish territory. Let me move on now to the spiritual lesson. Some of our disobedience or sin may have repercussions in the future, like adultery and broken family. Naturally, it doesn't stop at husband and wife. Yeah, it goes down to the children. The children would have a very poor idea of their parents, poor understanding of marriage. And as children, they will be wondering what's going to happen to them in the future when their father and mother splits. Who will take care of their expenses? How will they go to school? Who's going to pay for their school fees? So all these fear and anxiety of the children will have deep repercussions in their life later on. And further, failure to teach God's word to our children. Children will grow up wayward. They will disregard God and disregard praying, reading of the word. And naturally, God's word teaches us to discipline our children. If there's no discipline, our children will grow wayward, disobedient, arrogant, proud, feeling entitled to what they want to have. So our actions will have repercussions to our children and their lives later on. So this is a spiritual lesson that we should learn from the life of Abraham. Next, we come to God's test of Abraham in the sacrifice of Isaac. Let me read to you Genesis 22, 1 to 2, and further on. Genesis 22, 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Tempt means test Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee out, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So God says, take your son Isaac to a part of Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. So we are told that Abraham rose up in the morning, and as a matter of fact, he got his saddle, his asses, got his servants, and wood for the burnt offering, and brought Isaac along. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He saw the place in Mount Moriah where he was going to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So Abraham told his servants to be at the foothill, whereas he and Isaac will go up for the worship. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. So father and son went upwards to the mount. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? So Isaac was very precocious. He knows that when there is an offering, you need a lamb. And the lamb was missing. So he asked the father, Where is the lamb? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. So Abraham, I think, in his heart, knew that God would provide. And so he answered Isaac accordingly, that God will provide a lamb. And they went to the mount together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So at the place where Abraham was supposed to sacrifice Isaac, the place was, they started preparing for the burnt offering with the altar, and Isaac and Abraham started to bind the hands of Isaac. And there is nothing in scripture to tell us that Isaac rebelled or ran away from the father. Remember, the father is at least maybe 110 years old. By now, Isaac would be in his teens, more than 110 years old, and not a young man to struggle with Isaac. Isaac was a young boy, full of energy and strength. He could break free from his father and run away, but he didn't. He just allowed Abraham to bind him, put him, laid him on the altar upon the wood. So you read scripture, it is as it is described, you know. Isaac allowed himself to be bound without fighting the father. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And Isaac was quiet, being laid down, bound on the altar, ready to be sacrificed. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So the angel of the Lord says, do not harm Isaac, because now God knows that you will not withhold the sacrifice of your son, the only son that you love. And that actually it means also that Abraham put God first, and not Isaac is not first in Abraham's life. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So God provided a lamb, yeah, in place of Isaac. And true enough, the ram was being offered as a sacrifice in place of Isaac. And Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So let us move on with the slide. And look at the slide. Abraham reasoned that God would raise Isaac from the dead. And I would like to refer you to Hebrew 11, 17 to 19. Let me just turn to Hebrew chapter 11, 17 to 19. Let me read to you. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So naturally, Abraham knows that God has already promised him that he will have Isaac, and through Isaac, many, many descendants. So in the mind of Abraham, how could it be that he is now going to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering, kill Isaac? Where would his descendants be? How could God's promise become true if Isaac dies? So in Abraham's mind, the way that God can be true to his word and there still be descendants from Isaac would be that after Abraham has sacrificed Isaac, God would resurrect Isaac to life again. So in verse 19, you read, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So that was what was in the mind of Abraham, that God would resurrect his son again. Be that as it may, that this is great faith on the part of Abraham. It would be distressing, no doubt, to sacrifice, to plunge that knife into Isaac and to kill Isaac. So it was very distressing for Abraham to do this deed. No doubt it came from God, but still, Abraham, being human, has emotions like you and I. It would be very, very difficult, distressing, and unthinkable for him to kill Isaac. And because he did this deed which God required him to do as a test of his faith in God, and God honored Abraham for not withholding Isaac from sacrifice. That you can read in verse 16 to 18. Let me read it to you. Genesis 22, 16 to 18. And said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, it has not withheld thy son, thine only son." God realized that Abraham had faith, because Abraham did not withhold his son, his only son, "that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So it was taken as credit to Abraham for not withholding Isaac from sacrifice. That God will bless Abraham with many descendants, and they will be with great riches. So let me now show you a video again. Please be careful of inaccurate parts, especially the speeches between parties. The speech between persons are all is all the ideas of the movie makers. You will not find it in scriptures. And certain parts of the events are also concocted. They are not accurate, but look at the emotions on the part of Abraham when God told him that he had to sacrifice Isaac. He was filled with distress, filled with grief that he's going to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. And right up to the time when he put Isaac on the altar to be sacrificed. So it's a sad scene, and please take note of the events.
Son Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, to a mountain there which I will show you, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Offer him as a burnt sacrifice.
God. Lord. Lord. Offer Isaac as a burnt sacrifice. My Lord. Oh, my Lord. Why?
Stay here, my son and I. Go up and worship, and then we will come back down to you.
Sheep up this high. Did you bring the flint to make a fire?
Yes.
We have wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
God will provide the lamb.
tightly, Father.
Abraham, do not harm your child, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you've not withheld your son, your beloved son.
Yes, the Lord provided the lamb. How wonderful it is. And God is true to his word. And God preserved Isaac and the descendants to come. So let us now look at the spiritual lesson. Abraham's amazing faith in carrying out the sacrifice. How would we react if it were us? What or who is your Isaac? I know how I would react. I would fail miserably. It is just too difficult. And God has also told us that God won't allow you to be tempted or tested beyond your strength. So for sure, the test or the test of faith that you go through will be something not beyond you. It will be something that you will be able to carry out, carry through. And God knows that things like sacrificing of a son will be something which I will fail utterly. And so God provided other tests for me. And what or who is your Isaac? That question is more like a question of what is dearest to you in your life? Who is dearest to you in your life? If God is second to that, then the person that has taken over the place of God is your idol. And you have to be careful because God is a jealous God. He wants you to put him first, and then all things shall be added unto you. So you can read in Matthew. So it is with God in testing Abraham. Of course, God and everyone knows that Abraham loves Isaac the most, his only son. He has sent Ishmael away. He is left with Isaac. Nothing is more dear to him than Isaac. So God put him to the test. Between Isaac and me, who would you pick? Very distressing test for Abraham. And he passed this test. And God gave him a lamb to be sacrificed. So let us look further into Abraham's faith. You notice there were two lies and the faith of sending Ishmael away and the sacrifice of Isaac. You find that pretty inconsistent. And so it is with all of us. Our faiths are pretty inconsistent with our behavior. You notice in Abraham's faith, there are many ups and downs. The ups. When God first told him that he was to go to the promised land from Haran, he journeyed on from Haran to Canaan. Despite all the concern about the heat, the drought, the lack of food, and many, many other concerns for the journey, he has full faith in God and in reaching his destination in Canaan. That was an up. Then he trusted God in sending Hagar and Ishmael away. No human father would do that. But then Abraham had full faith in God because God told Abraham that Ishmael will be a great nation. He trusted God and sent Hagar and Ishmael in the way of the desert. Then come the final test of sacrificing Isaac. Again, which father would sacrifice his son? I dare say Abraham is the only one I know. So these are all the great faith of Abraham. And then we look at the down in Abraham's faith, telling a lie to Pharaoh in Egypt. Yeah, after he has gone through the very terrible journey in the desert from Haran to the promised land, many months on foot, notwithstanding lack of water, the heat, the terrible cold in the night. And then he was fearful for his life and told a lie, asked Sarah to lie that she was his sister. What happened to the faith? And then he repeated the same lie to Abimelech and Gerah that Sarah was his sister. And then in acceding to say Sarah's request to have a son through Hagar, what happened to the great faith of Abraham? So let me put it this way. As I have said always, that Abraham is an ordinary man. He has ups and downs in his faith. And so have we. Yeah. Abraham is like you and I. Sometime he's full of faith in God and he does many things for God. Sometimes so fearful, so anxious for his life that he tells a lie or do other things which is against God's will. And so it is that God chooses ordinary people to do his work. So our faith also has its ups and downs. Fear and anxiety can drive us towards or away from God. What sort of fear? What sort of anxiety? Many of us, we work. Working adults, we face our bosses, we face our colleagues, and we face the prospects of leaving a job, being jobless. And what then, our family? Who's to feed our family if we are retrenched or we are without a job, especially in this climate of the pandemic? So how? Do the fear and anxiety drive us closer to God or drive us away from God? it can happen both ways. In Abraham's case, he was driven away from God when he told a lie, and he was driven close to God when he had to send Ishmael away and when he had to sacrifice Isaac. So it is with us. The fear and anxiety can also do the same to us. And what we have to do is we have to look to God for deliverance when we face challenges in our life. Remember how God has been faithful in delivering you in the past. Trust God to deliver you again. Put Him first in your life. And I could clearly recall in my life how I had been put to severe tests a few years ago when I had a serious illness. There was nothing that I could do. If you're ill, you're ill. Whether you survive that illness is beyond you. So I remembered that God was very faithful to me and He delivered me. I had many fears and anxieties, and God was so faithful to me, and I'm so grateful to God. And naturally, there are many tests. This is one major test. And in the past, I was put out of a job many times without accepting another offer. Yeah. So the modus operandi of my job life is when I'm pushed out, I start looking for a job. Actually, this is not advisable for people. You should first have a job first, then you resign. That is the proper procedure. Yeah. But God has been so gracious to me that every time I was pushed out, I resigned first and I looked for a job and got a job. Praise all be to the Lord. So put Him first in your life. He will take care of you. Trusting God in the storm. And He will deliver you. And He will be your refuge, your solid rock, your high tower, mighty fortress. And you will be under His shelter and He will protect you. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for the story of Abraham, how we see Thy mighty work in him, and how he has failed You and also succeeded in many times in his faith in You, and how we should look to him as a man of faith, and also look to him that in times of trouble, we should cry out to You, to seek You as our mighty rock and our safe refuge. So, Lord, grant us faith in You. Deliver us, Lord, from this fear and anxiety in our lives, that we will continue to abide in You and to be strengthened by You. Teach us to walk close to You and repent of our sins and leave our sins. Loving Heavenly Father, we ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Bye-bye.